Okay, we're on lesson number 6, which is 13, 14, 15, those three chapters. And again, we'll, at the end of the question, we'll see if there's some particular proverbs that meant something to you or something to rehash with the group. Okay? Okay. What is the difference between the sluggard and the diligent in 13, 4? What's the difference between them?
The sluggard wants, but he's not willing to work toward, you know, the desired goal, but the wise diligently works and is rewarded for his labor.
That's right. That's right. Sluggard wants, does a lot of wanting, a lot of talking, okay? But he really doesn't, in the end, it doesn't, there's no result in it. But the diligent is made fat, which is the idea of satisfied completeness. All right, good, good. And number 2. What do fools detest, an abomination to them? I had 13, 19, I think, on that. Okay. What do they detest, a fool? Okay. They don't want to turn away
from evil.
Depart from evil, do they? Okay. You know, we use the fool a lot in here. And, you know, it has a lot of meaning, something not, most of them not good at all, going back to the heart. I wonder if we throw around the word fool too much. You're a fool. Interesting, huh? Okay, when we use it, kind of be careful with it, okay?
Well, all right. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus said they're not supposed to call another man a fool. So the fool must have a pretty
hard,
bad connotation.
Yes. It's worse than a tax collector, huh?
Could be.
Doesn't mean that you can't say that you're being foolish.
No.
Yes.
No.
Or you're
that's
acting
right.
Like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think in Jesus, when he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, is the heart thing and wishing them evil and derailing them and putting them down, you know, as worse as a human being.
That's right. Okay. And, of course, in 19, desire is realized as sweet to the soul. See, and you're longing for something, it is sweet when you're fulfilled with it. Okay, the fool is being fulfilled. All right. Number 3. How does one prove whether he loves or hates his son or daughter? 13:24.
Just what we were just talking about.
Yes, yes.
And the word diligently is there also. It's not just every now and then.
It's consistently.
Right.
The two key words in that, in this version, is withholds the rod, and then diligently, disciplines. So withholds and diligently, those two to look for. Okay.
The word in the King James is betimes.
Okay.
Consistently.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. As may be required. Timely manner. All right. And that speaks a lot, doesn't it? Timely manner betimes. All right. All right. Because how can you learn sometimes if it's a week after? Especially some kids and their memories. Man, how can you wait till 2 weeks or a week or a month or whatever it is?
Well, you know, Steve talks about, and I love this. Some parents, he said that, he says, I've heard him say this, talk about this before. Sometimes parents will spank a child for spilling milk accidentally at the table. And I talk to Lisa and Chris about this all the time. You don't spank a child for having an accident. Now, you spank a child for playing when they're at the table if they're not supposed to. But accidents happen. You can't spank a child for their having an accident. That's just not right. But then Steve will say, they'll do that, and then they're sitting there watching TV. They don't be bothered. And the kid can say anything, and he won't do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be consistent, and you have to be equal.
Yeah, accidents are hard, especially real young ones. You know, you said, that's almost a repetition thing. You know, don't do this, or don't get near this, or don't, you know. And after there's some point in there, you know, you say, well, they've learned the lesson, you know, or they should know it by now. Especially when you get them somehow to repeat it back to you. You know, you get that age. That's when you know, okay? That Chad, I'll take and put those things on the edge of the counter. They don't touch that now.
Just dare him to do it.
He does.
But he learns. See, I don't back in the first part. Okay. But when he does, when he sticks his hand, it's there. He sticks his hand, it's sitting here. He just holds his hand just above it. That's a chicken.
Is that provoking?
Yes. Yes.
And smiles, you know.
That's a chicken. I think both of y'all need to be spanked. You're provoking, and he's egging to see what you're actually going to do.
Well, I'm getting you to think what he's doing.
Both of them are pushing buttons.
All right.
They are. How many of y'all both need to be spanked?
I get that from the
idea.
I get that from the idea. You know, you put things in your hand, you say, you know, listen, which hand's it in? You know? But you put it in your hand, and you don't say anything. And they find the one who says, that's not the question. What's the question? Okay? I say, the question is, which hand's it not in? Now do it. And then John comes in. He learns, what's the question? Is the question the God? You learn that way, too. All right. Anyway.
Let's see. What will happen to the backslider in heart in 14:14?
He's filled with his own ways.
Yep. He just lives for his own ways, fully themselves. Their ways right. And we can see that in the second part, that the good man or prudent man will be satisfied with his own ways. Okay? And I guess you can limit yourself by that, but when you look to yourself only, you know, that's going to cause a lack of faith and backsliding. Okay, 14:14. Number five. What is the outcome of one who merely talks versus one who works? What's the outcome?
There's profit and labor.
Profit, okay.
Profit or poverty.
Mm-hmm. Poverty and profit. And just the idea of fulfilling what you're going to do, we talked about that, okay?
James 2 says, show me your faith, you know.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah. It's a fulfillment of the heart, fulfillment of your desire. Well, what is a fulfill? There's a work at the end of it, isn't there? Whatever it is, okay? And six, who is of great understanding and who exalts folly? Well, we know, don't we? Who's a great understanding in 14:29?
Who is slow to anger has great understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Quick-tempered.
Okay. And if you tend to be quick-tempered, which we've been kind of talking about in children here, okay? But children, if you're really quick-tempered, what have you missed, maybe? What's not completed?
The opportunity to teach.
Because they'll shut down and you've lost them at that point.
I see two things. One is, make sure you've gathered all the facts. There may be some other extenuating circumstance or something. I don't know. Who knows sometimes? Okay? It may be that, you know, the other mate or someone else told them to do it and they'll do it. They'll do that. Okay? You don't know. Okay? Especially if you have momentary care or sporadic care. You don't know sometimes. And the other thing is, we can maybe exert too much punishment if we're acting in a temper situation. Huh? I don't know, do you exert too little discipline when you're hot tempered?
Not usually.
Okay. All right.
Wrong kind of temper.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. And this opportunity, like Dawn was saying, the idea of teach too. And always, just listen now, here's what's going to happen, and here's why it's going to happen. Repeat that back. Okay, here's why it's going to happen. Okay. Hey, you understand? I understand. Repeat that back.
Right. You've lost an opportunity to shut down a strifeful situation. Sometimes when you're in the midst of this and you get hot-tempered, the other person is not in the best of shape either, you know. And especially the child who has been rebellious or knows he's in trouble or that kind of thing, or a mate that y'all had a disagreement with and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so you've lost the opportunity to shut that strife down.
Yes.
And to renew communication.
That's right. Seven. What are the effects of righteousness and sin in a nation or on a nation? What? How does righteousness affect the nation?
Exaltation.
Okay. And sin causes downfall.
What does a good nation look like? We're looking at the people, aren't we?
Right, I guess. Right. What does a good church look like?
It's people.
Yeah. See, it's people. All right. How they treat one another.
I started to say it's one who loves God, mm-hmm. loves neighbor, mm-hmm. and that's what a good nation mm-hmm. does. It's after godliness and right. love of neighbor.
Having received God's providence, which nations He favored, longer lasting, and that kind of thing. Okay. All right. What's on? Number 8. How does the sacrifice of the wicked compare to the prayer of the upright in 15:8? I guess that's the number. Now, you may have another proverb. That's what I had on it. Mm-hmm. What about the sacrifice of the wicked compared to the prayer of the upright?
Abomination to the Lord versus His
delight. When we talk about that sacrifice, if it's done by a sacrifice, if a religious act or something is done by a wicked person, how's that an abomination? Their motives might have been off. Well, they were off. They're wicked. Okay. Yeah, sure. Hypocrisy. Doing it for show. See, a lot of things in there. Okay. So again, and praise be to God that He looks at the heart for those things. And that's why He can see the prayer of the upright is the delight of pleasing to Him. All right? Upright is the key word there. And wicked. All right.
I think verse 9 puts some light on it also. Turns around instead of saying the sacrifice, he says the way. And so it's the way this wicked person is living. And he can if it's not according to God's word, and the way God wants him to live, he can sacrifice all day long, but it's going to be an abomination. So God looks not at the sacrifice, but at the heart and the way the man's living.
That's right. That's right. The way of the wicked, abomination, Lord, but he who loves one, but he loves one who pursues righteousness. Okay? pursues good living, treating others right, seeks wisdom, all those sort of things. Good. All right, number 9. What is better than a fattened calf or a stalled ox or hatred within?
Fish and vegetables where love is.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Okay. A humble circumstance is better than a rich, wealthy circumstance without, without what? Mm-hmm. Okay. Or with hatred. That's something we need to always watch for. All right, number 10. Who brings trouble to his own house? 15:27. Right. Okay.
That's pretty for game.
Takes bribes. If you take a bribe, what does that tell you about your character? You'd sacrifice truth. Because a bribe, right? And you sacrifice truth and honesty and fairness for a bribe. Okay? And a bribe doesn't necessarily be money, can it? A bribe is a lot of things. Okay? Power, even. All right. Now, any particular verses in 13 that is interest to you? We'd like to talk about. I was thinking of 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And the teaching there is, watch who you're with. Watch your companions. People together tend to do the same thing, don't they? Sort of. Okay? Because would they be together? They're the opposite things, I guess. Okay? If you're in a pack of people who don't talk right, or whatever it is, a lot of innuendo, and you're the only one there, what do you feel pressured to do sometimes? You could be pressured to join in. Depends on your age and that sort of thing, maturity. Right? Okay? And the opposite, I hope, will lift up too, doesn't it? Okay? Gives a good example the other way. So watch your companions. Walk with the wise. Anything else? Chapter 13. And of course, he withholds his rod, hates his son, loves him, disputes him, builds him. Okay. Anything on 14? Anybody have any thoughts?
Number one. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. You know, you have a good or a bad influence over your own family.
And the stress here is the one we've seen the father having on a lot of things. But here, we've got a reference here, woman and her, and her own hands.
Because the woman is spending the majority of the time with her children, and she's, right. You know, so what they see, a lot of times, they're going to see from her, and that can be the good or the bad.
And even beyond children, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Build your house. Daddy, the influence goes all the way up and down the chain, doesn't it?
Okay.
Sure does, doesn't it? Okay. And hands and house wider than just her herself. All right. Good. Good point. Okay.
Verse 12.
There's a way which seems right to a man or a woman, and its end is to the way of death. You know, a lot of times to people we see things that seem pleasant to it, beneficial to us. Is it always a wise path if it seems to be sweet and pleasant and beneficial? Does that make it automatically right to do? It's interesting, isn't it? Okay.
When I hear that, I think of like fellowship halls and stuff. People kind of have like, they just think that, oh, this will be well, you know, do well, but it's not authorized, obviously. But they have good intentions, I think, but just wrong ones.
That has a
good initiative, bad judgment sort of thing.
Yes, it is.
Well, it can be your faith, too. I mean, it can be little things that you think you're doing the right thing. I mean, because I question things all the time. You know, am I this?
Mm. Yes.
I do. So you've got to make sure that just the everyday things you do, or the things you're teaching your children or teaching others, is really the truth.
And what's interesting about 12, it's so general in one aspect, and then we make it to the specifics, don't we? We can apply many, many specifics to that, the way that seems right to a person. And mixed in with all this is what? Our own free will, isn't it? Okay? That's this free will. Okay? And that's what all these things about life are about. You can choose. You can choose. Okay? A ruined life, separation from God, out of God's care.
That's in Isaiah 55, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And, you know, it talks about, you know, we're to do it God's way. Seek the Lord, you know, is what he talks about even up there. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you do it God's way. You listen to God's wisdom instead of your own.
And what that goes to, if you're talking about, is the idea of my ways are higher than your ways, is the idea of so many times people try to equate themselves, you know, with the Almighty God, okay, in decision making or what's wise or whatever it is, and we shouldn't do that. And that's a good reminder of that, all right? His ways are much higher. After all, shouldn't a creator know more than a created? Yes. Okay. All right. Good, good. Anything else in 14? How about 15? Anything there?
There,
I had that one down too.
Yeah.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Watching and listening, we'll say there. Okay? Why is he watching? Why is he listening? Why does he care about evil and good?
He's like Santa Claus. Yes, you've been naughty and nice.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
On the tape, just kidding.
Because the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination.
Yeah, that's right.
And the prayer of the upright is his delight.
Okay. And also, if the eyes of the Lord everywhere, and he's watching this everywhere, and he's watching the good, what comes out of that if he's watching the good? We know we talk about the evil. What about the good? He's watching the good.
More the blessings.
Yeah, but doesn't that gives you an inner peace, doesn't it?
That's right.
See, I see this as an encouragement.
Yes. See it? Okay.
Verse 26 up there in 14. I like that when I marked it. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have rest.
A lot of times, you know the intent of your heart. You know the intent of your actions, but things just come out different somehow. All right? I say to myself, you know, God, I really didn't mean that to be coming that way, okay? And, but that's not what I meant. You know that, okay? And you can correct things after that and that sort of thing, but you know what you meant. All right?
The rest of the world may not understand and like it,
mm-hmm.
but if it's right, you know that the Lord knows that it's right, and you can have confidence and take refuge in it.
And we're talking about things said or done, the idea of whatever situation you're in. Say whatever it is, okay? A marriage or not, or whatever it is, at work, he knows those situations. So, you've got to be careful with assigned motives. Yes?
2 Chronicles 16:9
Okay.
Was said to Asa, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So, I get a visual of him seeing, you know, just roaming around, seeing everything.
2 Chronicles 16:9
Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts? I just did number 29, 15:29 was my last one there. I just deal with the idea, well, does God hear prayers or not hear prayers? And does he heed prayer? Does he listen to prayers? That sort of thing. And the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. That's another thing, too, about it. God's everywhere. God knows everything, the good and the bad, whatever it is. He hears the prayer of the righteous.
I got into a discussion. I can't even remember who it was now and how the discussion started. But that was one of the things that they said was that, you know, God's going to answer prayers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I said, hold on a minute. Not necessarily. He hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. But if you're not acting in righteous, and if you're acting in sin, why would he answer your prayers?
Depends what you're praying for.
If you're praying for help to get out of your sin,
right.
is one
That's
thing.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Right.
But if you're playing the lottery and you're praying for a windfall, don't think that's going to happen.
That's right. That's good. Okay? Heeds and hears are interesting two words, aren't they? All right.
Yeah, he told Jeremiah, don't pray for him. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen. You know, we're talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
He hears, that's the idea of heed, isn't it? Listen to, granted. Okay,
that's
just what they want.
A scary place to be, too. It's for God not to hear your prayer. That's right. A scary place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, he addresses it again in 1 John 5 because he says there is a sin that doesn't lead to death. But you could pray all day long, you know. If there's, and what I believe he's talking about is you just turn your back out and listen to the Word of God. You know, if that's not going to change you, if your heart can't be turned by the Word of God, and you know, then a person could pray for you all day long, and you're not going to be saved from sin,
right.
because you're not going to listen.
Right. Anyway, I just wanted to put that one in. Okay. Anything else? We'll go ahead and go to the next group of verses, which is chapter 16. Okay. Real quick, though, I want to mention that everybody probably knows that Carol's back with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't sound good, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I don't know where Gladys and Martin tonight. Okay, maybe she's sick again or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call and check. Mm-hmm. We'll check that. All right. Proverbs 16. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Okay. The plans of the heart belong to man. Well, yeah. Okay. I take that as free will. People can make their own plans based on where their heart is. Okay? But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. When they make these plans, they're using their tongue. They're asking for things. But how is that answered? Okay? In other words, God's going to, in the end, His will is going to be done, isn't it? One way or another. And so, you know, people make their plans from their hearts, but God is really the one who lets or makes those plans occur. And so, I guess that, you know, He judges the plans in the end, too. So that's kind of what I see in that one there, in their thoughts, free will. I see.
Goes along with verse 9, man, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Exactly right. Okay, those two parallel each other. We'll look at 9 now while we're there. The mind of man plans his way. A man has had free will to plan his life, choose or not choose, but the Lord directs his steps. Is the Lord directing a man's steps in Proverbs? Is He directed in the book of Acts? Is He directing a man's steps in whatever book of Scripture?
Yes.
He's in the word.
Listening.
Yeah.
The ones who are
All right. So it's not something miraculous, is it? Sort of. See? Direct.
Well, He's in control. I was telling Chris the other day, you know, that we can plan our day all day long, but we know we're not guaranteed the next second. So we can make plans.
Mm-hmm. We make plans.
But it's totally up to Him on
whether to grant them or let things happen, mm-hmm. or whatever. So that's His will is going to be done either way. Right. Okay?
James 4:15. If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But it is you who boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And then he says, you know, and this is view on life, towards life, those who know to do right. You know,
yes, that's right.
And does not do it to him sin. So the right view of life is, you know, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that.
Yes.
And we can ask, you know, but like Christ, if thou will be done.
Yes, that's right. Number 2. It may sound familiar. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. The Lord weighs the motives. We've kind of seen the first part before, right? All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Now, he thinks he's doing what he wants to. He's chosen. That kind of self-assessment there. He's done, you know, what he thinks is right. But the Lord weighs the motives. It's a little different. The Lord weighs the motives. Motives, that's kind of going back to the heart, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's kind of what I was talking about a while ago. He weighs the motives on that. Right. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? See? Okay? And that's good to know because He's everywhere and knows everything.
We can deceive ourselves. So
yes.
We can deceive ourselves.
But you cannot fool deceive God.
You know, and it's not hypocritical, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But we can just deceive ourselves.
You don't think in 14:12 that God's weighing, when it says the end is the way of death, God's weighing those motives?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yes. Judges weighs the motives. That's exactly right. Okay. Number 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And if I may add a little bit, commit your works to the Lord, and your good plans will be established. Okay? Commit your works to the Lord is what? Trust in the Lord, right? I've done what I'm going to do, and I've got good plans. They'll be established. They'll be firm. They'll be approved. They'll succeed. All right? It's a good, encouraging verse there. That's what I get out of that one. Commit your works. Interesting works there. All right? 4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose or His own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But even the wicked for the day of evil. Some of your versions may say punishment there, I'm not sure.
Doom.
Okay? What's happening here?
He's all wise, he's all powerful, he's all knowing. Everything that he's established will come to be.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's said will come to pass.
And even this punishment or this thing at the end of this is made for you too, if you choose through free will. If you choose, that's going to be your end. Okay? Even the wicked for the day of evil, he's made that.
And it could be possible, maybe, that when Adam and Eve sinned, that he knew there were going to be those that were not going to follow him.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah, that was the plan.
He knew
that's
that.
Oh, yes, that was the plan.
But he didn't want it.
That
but he commanded it. He gave him free will.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3, 2.
Yeah.
He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want one to perish. So it's not that he set aside and say, you know, man, I'm going to punish, you know. This, but he doesn't want that. He went to great lengths to save men from that. But, you know, but even the wicked in the day of evil, I mean, you know,
well,
he has a purpose.
That's right. Okay.
Well, his own purpose, I looked at it as he made man to worship him. That was his purpose for making man.
What's in Ecclesiastes? The purpose of man, woman? Fear God and keep his commandments.
Yeah.
So man. Okay. It's not multiply. Okay. It's fear God and keep his commandments.
In Exodus, you know, we're talking about this. When he did the plagues, it was for one reason, and it's stated over and over and over again, that they may know that I am the Lord. And so not only the Egyptians, but the Israelites, he brought about and he did what he said he was going to do, that they may know. And the same thing for bringing down Judah, bringing down Israel, bringing down all the nations, you know. He did it so that they might, you know that he was the Lord and that they might come and seek him.
See, in that case, I mean, they had really been really without the Lord for 300 years, sort of. Okay? A lot of Egyptian influence. And he had to show that to them.
Uh-huh.
And a good leader. Show them too.
And you know, when it says he raised up a Pharaoh, you know, mm-hmm. and everything. He knew what kind of man Pharaoh was. God didn't make Pharaoh evil. He just used Pharaoh. So.
All right, number 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. That's interesting. Okay? Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Well. See, my son got A's in school. I'm proud of him. Is that right?
No.
Okay, what kind of proud are we talking about?
You're self-sufficient. You don't rely on God.
It's proud to the point of arrogance, right? Okay? And you don't need God. I'm in my heart. I'm arrogant in heart. I don't need God. I don't need his help. I don't need whatever it is. Because assuredly he will not be unpunished. And that's the idea of judgment in it. Okay? That you may, a good person may look out there and see one that's whatever they're doing to people. Okay? And know surely judgment's going to come. And then know that's abomination of God. So, I guess that gives a confidence in doing what's right. That's what that does. Number 6. By loving kindness and truth, inequity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Okay. Look at the second line first. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. How does the fear of the Lord keep you away from evil?
You know His word, so you steer away from the path of evil.
Yes. Okay. And the steering there, from your inner, from your heart, there's a motivation to do what's right in there. Okay? And He's given us a means. Don't talk. Don't associate. Don't do things, okay, and do things too, okay. Have your prayers correct, your mind right and upright. So, when it keeps away from you, about the first part, by loving kindness and truth, inequity is atoned for. All right, loving kindness, you might have mercy, maybe. truth you may have. I don't know. Okay? Loving kindness and truth and equity is atoned for. If you act a certain way in mercy and truth, is inequity atoned for? Yes, it is, isn't it? Okay? And how is it atoning done? How is it paid for? Okay? Could say through a fact sacrifice, couldn't we? Okay?
Start to say, is this talking about God's loving kindness and the truth about God's loving kindness?
It goes both ways on it. On interpretation on this one, that sounds interesting. Is it God's loving kindness and truth is atoned for, or man's good works, loving kindness and truth? Okay, he does that. Okay, in other words, it's that idea of fruits of repentance, man's obedience. That kind
if we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to have loving kindness and truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So it tends to go towards man's view. Okay, so it's interesting. Number 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, yes, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So if you've got these ways that are pleasing to the Lord, well, what ways are pleasing? Well, you're a good example. You show wisdom. These verses before, you're not arrogant.
You're not cheating.
Yeah.
You're slow or lying or
yeah,
stealing.
That's right. So the second one, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In a sense, it's the idea that even I guess your enemies can be friends with you, I guess. Okay?
They can appreciate you for your honesty.
Yes. Okay? Some respect involved
yeah.
there. Okay?
They may not like you, but they can appreciate you.
Yeah. So it's interesting, okay? That you can even affect by your ways, and you duly doing ways that are pleasing to the Lord, and even affects the actions and intents of enemies. Okay? We can have effect on others by our actions, can't we? Even our enemies. All right. 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. That's one of these we talked about before. Better is a little income, I think income may be the word there, with righteousness than great income with injustice. We've talked about that before. Is it worth it, you know, to have great income by injustice, by fraud or stealings or falseness of some sort, say, and with injustice? And no, it's not, is the answer. Okay? Number 9, we said that's really equivalent to number 1. Mind a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, number 10. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. Okay? His mouth should not err in judgment. What are we talking about? Did the king learn something in that divine decision? If he's a king and he's a leader, he makes decisions, judgments. And the divine decision I take is learned wisdom from God. Learned wisdom. As God led by God's wisdom. And guess what he'll do? His mouth should not err in judgment. If he's guided by the wisdom of God, wisdom from God, the wisdom from heaven, then guess what? He's going to judge properly. He's going to have justice involved. And that goes back to the idea of a good nation, isn't it? Okay, you've got good leadership, good people, so you treat people fairly. You have a judiciary appointed by the king, whatever it is, that's fair and honest. If your witnesses are good, say, and honest, truthful, then the king can give a good judgment. Okay. Number 11.
The king's mama in Proverbs 31 talks to her son, the king. And in verses 1 through 9, she talks about wise judgment to this king before he gets into the wife thing, you know, intent. But he talks about not perverting the rights of those and not drinking strong drink and you know, but ruling justly. You know, how to rule wisely. She talks to her son, the king, about that.
And let's just take Solomon. I mean, did Solomon, of course, he had his divine wisdom was a little different, I think, than most leaders. But did his mouth err in judgment? Well, in judgment for others, I think he was okay. Judgment personally, he had a lot of problems. Okay, a lot of problems. 11. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are His concern. Balance and scales, an honest balance and scales. We saw one place for his abomination. He wants you to be honest in business. All right? But all the weights of the bag are his concern. What's that? All the weights in the bag. Remember we talked about you could have two different weights, one for selling and one for buying? Interesting, isn't it? Okay?
Well, he sees what's in that bag.
Huh?
He sees what's in that bag.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay? So are his concerns. If God watches scales and weights, he wants all to be honest. Okay. So we're talking about leadership at a king level. We talk about down to business. So plans of individuals. There's a lot of things involved here. Number. Let's do 12 real quick. It's an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. Back to the old king again. Should he commit wicked acts? The things that are not good for the people. Things their judgments are wrong. For a throne is established on righteousness. What's that? God has set up leaders and to be a people. And the idea here that God set it up to be right, but kings commit wicked things on it. So people choose again, don't they? All right? All government should be fair and just. Is every government on earth have a penalty for murder?
They should.
Yeah, for stealing? Every one of them does it. Every form. I mean, with colony or whatever it is, okay? I mean, even Nazi Germany had, I'm just saying, do it or not, they still had those laws, didn't they? Okay? So, God set all that up. All right, let's do that next time, number 13. 16, 13. Thank you very much.